Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good morning, Dr. Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, if my speech comes back immediately.
That'll help, yeah.
Yes, we're doing fine, and we have a lot of important things to do, and I've sort of wanted to push this idea because it's just so annoying to me about this concentration by the enemy on vaccines.
Yeah.
You know, the vaccinations and what they do and the complications of it and the vaccine passport thing. I think all of it is related ultimately to the passport idea.
Yeah.
And it looks like maybe Bill Gates has been discredited. We don't hear as much from him. And he was going to put your passport in the injection and it was going to be in your body.
Yeah.
And we don't hear as much about that. And we don't hear as much from him. So maybe he got discredited a little bit recently. But still, I think the whole principle is passport. Because, you know, they have this thing worked out where the government doesn't take the position of saying, we will mandate it. That's against our liberties. We would, and the government, our government, Republican or Democrat, would never be opposed to our liberty. So they say, no, it's the businessman. The businessman is a free enterpriser. He can do what he wants. Sort of like protecting your freedom of speech. Government doesn't regulate your speech, but they have regulators in social media. They're just pretty good friends with the government.
Yeah,
you know. So this is what they're doing, and they're saying that. The whole thrust of this is if you don't have your vaccine and you don't have proof of it, and whether it's two, three, or four, we don't know exactly how many they need because they don't know either.
No,
they probably need zero, especially for these kids. And we want to talk about the kids. But they go on, but this is the way they're going to regulate, and this is the way they're going to say, prove it. Prove it. You've had three shots.
Yeah.
And that will be your internal passport. It's an international thing, too. That's the amazing thing about this horrible, horrible thing we've been going through. It became so international and so well received, and the countries together. Oh, now I think Singapore is the only country that sort of said, we're not even going to keep records anymore.
Yeah.
So to me, it was amazing how many people have gathered together and to support this. And also, the other amazing thing is how business people have gone along, because they can't do this without the business people. And then allowing them to pretend, oh, it's not us. We protect freedom of speech. So, but Fauci has something to say about this.
Yep.
And you're going to help me today, Daniel, figure this out, because sometimes I get confused on what his position is.
Yeah.
So we've appointed you as the expert on saying, he said this, but did he mean this, or is he going to say this, and what is he going to say tomorrow?
Yeah, the Janus-faced Fauci. But, you know, our position has always been that some people may want to get a vaccine. It may make sense for some people. We're not against it at all. But, you know, as Massey points out, as pointed out over and over again, there is a thing called natural immunity that you get when you've received the virus and you've gotten over the virus, which, I don't know, some 150 million Americans have gotten it, and we know that. So the issue is that. But Fauci, yes, he's back. He's back, he's back, he's back. He was out of the limelight for a little bit. Let's put on this first clip, because he is very annoyed. Because Alex Berenson, who we've talked about on the show for the past year, who's crunched numbers and who has really bravely, bravely faced down this emerging paradigm, he was at CPAC, and he said he was talking about the vaccine mandates and how they haven't received matched their goal yet, and the crowd cheered, and Fauci was horrified. He said, it's horrifying. I don't get it. I mean, I just don't get anybody who's thinking clearly can get that. But here's what we can't get, coming back to your question, Dr. Paul. In that same interview, let's look at that next clip. Here is Dr. Fauci talking to Jake Tapper. We've got to put aside this ideological difference or differences, thinking that somebody is forcing you to do something, he says about the vaccine. And the very next clip, we got to get over the idea that they're forcing you to do something. And here's the next clip. I have been of this opinion, and I remain of that opinion, that I do believe at the local level, Jake, there should be more mandates, he says about the vaccine. There really should be. We're not forcing you, but there better be some mandates.
Guess where that's the top headline, which paper was? This happens to be to come from the Washington Post. Fauci says there should be more COVID vaccine mandates at the local level and less painful effort to the local level. And if it's in combination with his friendly businessman.
Yeah.
So, but it's still control. It is controlling the people. And that's what it's been from the very beginning, this whole lockdown and the mandates, and it's continuing. I thought they would get a little bit embarrassed after a while.
Yeah.
But this is there, and it's going to continue. And of course, he was slightly quiet for a while, but he's back in the throw. But not many challenges. It's amazing. But he wasn't overly well received, I don't think, at CPAC.
No, he wasn't. And that's the thing. We'll talk about this in the next segment. But the whole politicization of the resistance to the shot is fascinating. And we have something really interesting that you sent over this morning. But here's something from the same interview, Dr. Bowler. And I know this is something that you have been talking about consistently, not only for the past year, but for a long time. Let's put up this next clip. This is Fauci talking to Tapper on CNN. He says, people need to understand that the amount of data right now that shows a high degree of effectiveness and a high degree of safety is more than we've ever seen with the emergency use authorization. And next slide, please. In light of that, this is from the Washington Post. FDA adds new warning on Johnson & Johnson vaccine related to rare autoimmune disorder. Guillain-Barré syndrome. You know a little bit about that, Dr. Paul.
Well, I do. My first introduction to Guillain-Barré was I was a short time out of medical school. I was doing a medical residency at Henry Ford Hospital, and one of my patients had the disease. And believe me, it is a disease. I'll tell you, the man that I had as the patient was a big guy, heavy, but he was totally paralyzed, arm and leg. And of course, when I saw the patient, I thought, well, this is it. How's this person going to get better? And the more wise physicians came and said, no, he has a Guillain-Barré, and we can tell this by the spinal fluid, and they get over it. But the biggest challenge will be taking care of him, because he can't take care of himself. And of course, the second time I had an introduction to this, and this was a coincidence because it wasn't that I put two and two together. If it was my first vote in the U.S. Congress in 76, Ford was president and he was struggling to get reelected in the midst of Watergate. And then there was the swine flu came up, and they rushed a bill to the floor. It was every bit like what they've done here. He said it might have even been faster. And there were millions of dollars appropriated to get everybody a shot. Now they spend billions of dollars. Yeah. But there was another doctor, Larry McDonald, very conservative Democrat, and I were there might have been three doctors, but the two of us voted against it. And it was not that we were fully acknowledged that they were going to get Guillain-Barré. We did it on a freedom principle. Why are they doing this? It didn't sound like good medicine to it.
Yeah.
Massive inoculations right on in. And it turned out that nobody died from the vaccine, but a lot of people died. Nobody died from the flu, but there were deaths, and a significant number of people had Guillain-Barré syndrome. And I'm sure the people who did die had the disease. But even though there were a bunch that got them, most of them got better from that too. But that's not much reassurance when you see what somebody goes through if they get it,
yeah.
And especially if you come to a conclusion that the vaccine probably wasn't even necessary,
yeah.
Because people who didn't take it didn't die, and we have a lot of that going on. And we're dealing now with forcing this on, and the younger people are more likely to get Guillain-Barré right now. And they're the ones who least need the vaccine, and it makes no sense. This is collectivism with the practice of medicine. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's medicine has a lot of variables, believe me. And when you throw the government and the drug companies in it, you really have a lot of variables that you can't control, and there are going to be more complications. A lot of people under these circumstances don't follow the old admonition, first, do no harm.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that young people are very susceptible to when they get the shot is this myocarditis. And you had something, I think, from the AMA or something that was talking about the the problem with what to tell your patients about myocarditis after the COVID vaccine.
Yeah, thing that came out that said that what to tell patients about myocarditis. So it's a medical thing once again.
Yeah.
It's collectivist advice in something that is much more complicated than that. And it was, you know, the myocarditis is worse for the children.
Yeah.
And they were telling them that, it's not very many that get it, and most of them get better. But if they didn't need the shot and your child gets it, that's 100%.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
You know, you can't say, well, 100 people got it and only 10 of them died.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not so bad. The odds aren't too bad, you know. But this whole thing of what about if they never even needed a shot? And right now, these complications, this has only started. I think CDC has record of people complaining about the adverse effects. I find it interesting that if you use these reports that people call in, the adverse effect, it's not like 100 or something. It's in probably in a thousand.
Tens of thousands
of people who made these complaints. And so they changed the rule. The announcement is they're not authentic.
Yeah.
So it's not reliable. But, that's one of the most common way people get advice, talking to family members or even neighbors to check on other doctors and care. You have a doctor that does this, you have a cardiologist, how do you like him? Has he taken, they get personal information there. But now if you get personal information, hasn't been authorized by the government. And when the government gets in, they find out it's unreliable. So therefore, but isn't it ironic that the CDC provides this information?
Yeah.
And people are waking up. Maybe there are other people than we ourselves, realize some of these reports are going on. And it does leak into the media, and certainly the conservative libertarian media report these incidences.
Yes, they do. And, again, we don't give medical advice on the show. Some people may want to take it, and they should take it. But we do is we try to give facts. We try to look at objective facts, and we talk about Thomas Massey and Rand Paul, who talk about the immunity that is conferred upon people who have received the virus infection and gotten over it. But what we see increasingly, we talk about this a lot, and in fact, we'll talk about it in our Washington conference in September, is the politicization of this virus, of the illness around the virus. It's not a zero-sum game. You either are hysterical or you think it's all a conspiracy and there's no virus. There is a reality in between the two, and that's where we're located. At least I hope we are. But others aren't in that reality, and others are looking to political benefit from this. They want to make it the smart Democrats, the smart Bidenites against the evil knuckle-draggling dragging MAGAites, and that's what the evil hat-wearing MAGAites don't want to get their shots because they're evil people. And I have a couple of things that I want to queue up and then send it back to you on this, because let's look at this next queue. This is from Politico today, and they're setting this up, Dr. Paul, potentially a death sentence. White House goes off on vaccine fear-mongers. Of course, it's not fear-mongering to talk about being a death sentence if you don't want to get a shot. But here is the first paragraph of the article, and it shocked me, Dr. Paul, because it really confirms some of our worst fears about this war on us. Let's look at this next clip. This is the first paragraph of this Politico article from the 12th, which is yesterday. Listen to this. The Biden administration is casting conservative opponents of its COVID-19 vaccine campaign as dangerous and extreme. Dangerous extremists, just like the war on domestic extremism.
And are they dangerous because they won't take the vaccine and things like that? But also the mainstream media is wrong about blame the groups that they blame.
Exactly.
So they blame Republican young men or middle-aged men, but especially if they're a Trump supporter.
Yeah, yeah.
They're more likely to cause it.
Conservative
but
extremists.
Zero Hedge, I think, helps straighten some of this out. Mainstream media is wrong. Vaccine hesitancy is not highest among Republican men, and Trump isn't to blame.
Yeah.
But so here it is, the real challenge, and I see this becoming more necessary and more of a challenge as life goes on, is, I think it should be a lifetime goal, and that is who's telling the truth and what is true and what is wrong. In science as well as anything else, especially in social matters. But here now you get into trouble, though. If you don't go along, you might lose your job.
Yeah.
You know, but it turns out that among Republican men, and it's the younger people that are objecting to it, and minorities are objecting to it. It's there. I think his conclusion, I don't know how blunt he was on it, but it was the conclusion I got was the people who are resisting are more likely to be Democrats than Trump supporters.
And it's fascinating. And they put up, it was an article, it was written by Emily Miller, who is a conservative activist, I think. And I read the article, and she cited the CDC, so I said, okay, trust but verify. So I went to the CDC, and I looked at what she was claiming, and it's really fascinating because, as we say, they want to paint it as the evil Republicans refusing the vaccine, and the good Democrats who are not extremists are all taking it. But let's do this next clip. This is the CDC, so it's their own info. Here is the report. It's the weekly morbidity report. Released on June 25th, 2021. Let's go to the next one. This is the actual data. You can see it yourself. What is added by this report? Overall, 34% of adults aged 18 to 39 years old reported receiving a COVID-19 vaccine. Only 34% in the 18 to 39 age group, the smallest percent of all. And those who are not getting their vaccination, the lowest vaccination, non-Hispanic black adults, those with less education, no insurance, and lower household incomes. The Democrats would say, well, that is the demographic of the inner city. I wouldn't go that far, but it certainly undermines the claim that it's all white, middle-aged Republicans with red hats screaming for Trump. It isn't. It's young people. And why is that, Dr. Paul? Because they have probably assessed their risks.
Right. You know, we complain a lot, and I think accurately so, with what's going on with the media. But I think it's still pretty neat that we can get this stuff. And I don't know what it is about it, but sometimes CDC is our best source. They inadvertently give us
tell
some
the
points,
truth. Yeah.
You know, inadvertently. But what they do is they put the statistics out, and they reinterpret their statistics. They'll say, well, this, and you see the chart, and we see the decrease, and then they'll have a statement, well, there's no problem.
Yeah,
you know. So, but they still put the numbers out. So I guess there are a few people there that are either just you know, routinely report what they're supposed to do, and yet some of the information gets out. Instincts are good too. I think that some of these young people, you know, just the instinct. I've heard some of them talk, and they say, "Well, I don't know anybody had this stuff. And I read this, and I read that, and the fear factor is going down."
Yeah.
I think they've lost it, and for reason. Because those charts that you put up shows that, you know, the infection rate and the death rate is way down.
Yeah.
And, of course, we recognize all the danger that was there, and even for some to take the vaccine. But this whole thing, that it's massive, and that was exactly what they did in 1975. But I think they've done that since then. It's money.
Money.
It's the pharmaceutical industry. And then you also hear so often, but why don't they take it? It saves their lives, and it's free.
Yeah, free.
And then that doesn't work, so they say, well, if you don't do it, you better watch out. You can't have your job. You might lose your job.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll bribe them. They do the bribing, and they do the fear-mongering. Yet, from my experience, especially with remembering very clearly, of what went on when we had the polio epidemic and we all got shots at, the atmosphere was completely different. I think at that time there was probably a lot more trust in the medical profession, and there was probably more trust in the media for all I know, but there wasn't this back and forth, who's telling the truth, even the drug companies probably were always in it for money, but they might have been more trustworthy back then, because I don't remember this same type of talk that is so common now about the power of the drug industry. We probably didn't have any collusion of the FDA and the pharmaceutical pharmaceutical industries.
You know, I do try to get to the gym as much as I can, and they have all the major networks on the TVs. I tend to watch the Liberty Report over again while I'm on the treadmill, but I can see them, and it's weird. Every single ad is for a drug company. If you got this, try this. If you got this, try this. It's incredible. I mean, they are driving the media. But, you know, here's a shocker. There's going to be another flu, and more people are going to die. You know, this death is a part of life.
Be prepared.
But our last topic that we want to, our last main topic we want to touch on, we don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but this goes along with our theme of our conference, the war on us, but also this real war on civil liberties. And let's put up this next clip. This is from the Washington Times, and this is chilling, Dr. Paul. We talked about the Capitol Police opening up offices around the country, but look at this next one, if we can put this up. This is frightening. Capitol Police to use Army surveillance system on Americans to identify emerging threat. And let's put the next clip up, because this is a picture of what they've used in the past. This was used in Afghanistan and Iraq to surveil people there in the war zones and identify enemies and threats and people to shoot. The Capitol Police are going to start using this in D.C. on American soil against Americans who are there forced to pay for it.
It's utterly amazing that so much support exists. When if the people want to find out, they usually can find out, but endlessly they keep passing this on, and it is absolutely for the position of having control. And that is why, you know, the vaccination and the passports and all of this comes together. And it comes together on the excesses in the reaction to the virus. You know, if you can see, well, this was a serious flu, and but it's been probably not worse and a lot of serious flus, but they've turned this into, you know, an emergency and an attack on civil liberties. And I think that we'll be talking a lot about that at the convention on the attack on civil liberties. But there's a lot of things that we should deal with. And we do deal with it either. We have the civil liberties that we should be protecting. Matter of fact, I think if civil liberties were understood and property was understood, and if people own their own body, this would make a lot of difference. But then there's the medical and scientific talk about the danger in the vaccines, mm-hmm. and the danger of not taking it, and that is where there's a lot of mixed information. Also, the political thing is just horrible. This is, you know, they can go, this state is a Republican state, this is a Democratic state. Republicans, you know, they should turn that around. Now that they're proving that a lot of this is nonsense, and you take the red states, and they had less, the statistics are already there. The economic harm done in the Republican states, a lot less than the other one, and say, oh, does that mean the Republicans are smarter than the Democrats? I mean, but no, they just go on, and they can turn it back on and say, no, you people are evil, you don't care, and you just assume people die.
Yeah.
And you're pro-death. And so there's politics involved in this. This is much more complex than it should be, mainly because it's gotten out of the hands of private people and individuals in particular. And that's why I bet if people have heard me talk a lot over the years on this program, how important I came away from medicine thinking probably the most important part of medicine, you know, information, examination, science and medications and you know, testing is all very important, but still I think it's the doctor-patient relationship. Because in many ways, I was told when I was a medical student, you can learn a lot from your patient.
Yeah, you know, believe that.
They emphasized to me, You listen, and you might get some hints. But there's none of that. How do you listen under these circumstances when they just be pawns? There are pawns out there, and the kids are pawns. Just think of the way these kids have suffered from those facial masks, and none of them, that's one area where you can say they did much worse with a mask than without a mask.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm going to skip ahead to my last little tidbit, and don't put it up yet, but you know, we like to talk about hypocrisy on the show because I think that's very effective. People do not like, the good thing about Americans, they don't like the idea of rules for thee and not for me. They don't like it. It makes them angry. Gavin Newsom and Cuomo have suffered some of that. But, you know, I don't want to get in part to the political side, but the Texas Democrat state delegation got on a plane and left Texas because they don't want to vote on a Republican-backed bill forcing you to actually show an ID to vote. Anyone should just be able to go to vote. It's way too racist. But so anyway, the hypocrisy part, we're going to skip a few clips to the airplane clip, actually. The hypocrisy of this is the Democrats in Texas, as you know, were the biggest supporters of mandates and masks and vaccine, stay home, stay safe. And they were able to influence the governor. And they've been big, you know, in every big city. If we can skip to the airplane picture, in every big city, they've been supporting of it. I think it's skipping ahead three clips if we can. Here they are, the Texas Democrat lawmakers leaving the state to break the quorum to stop Republicans. Okay, that's another issue. There's something that they're missing. Not a single one of them is wearing a mask. This is pretty fascinating. Masks for thee, but not for me. And let's do the next one. Here they are on a bus on their way to the airplane. They don't look like they're social distancing, Dr. Paul, and they're not wearing masks. And here's the next one. This is a party bus. Check this out, Dr. Paul. Look at that. There's a whole case of light beer behind this lady. It's hard to be too critical of them if they're going to get on a plane and drink a bunch of beer. And for maybe they're all vaccinated, what have you. But it's just a little bit of a poke at them for being.
Did you check out to see if they still get their pay? they're getting paid to do this.
Yeah. What a gig.
What a shame. But I hope the inconsistency pointing it out helps alert people on what's really going on.
Yeah.
So it is a shame. But I did want to take a little bit of time today and do this program, emphasizing once again the issue of mandates and masks and why it's important in the area of civil liberties, medical treatment, the whole works, because it is a big political issue. We don't like to get deeply involved in the politics of it all, but it is a big deal too, because this whole report here is saying that people, you know, the liberal press reported that the people who refuse to take the shots are all Trump supporters. It turns out it wasn't true. What if they ever had a true investigation of the people that went to the Capitol on January 6th and found out what would happen if they found out that there were more Democrats voting in there than Republicans? I would predict it would be kept a secret. That would be top national security secret that have to keep. But I do want to thank everybody today for tuning into the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.